The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
The prophet Amos said, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" Well, in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and says, "Walk in love, walk in the light, and walk in wisdom." And when you do that, you're walking in the light that God's given you. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you here on Exploring the Word. And we're here Monday through Friday, 3 o'clock Central Time, just opening the Word of God. And on Fridays, we still open the Word of God, but it's in a different way and answering nothing but questions. But Alex, this is a great, great day. It's a day, I think, that we need to call our folks here on Exploring the Word to prayer for our nation, our new president, and I pray a new direction.
Well, Bert, it's great to be with you, and yes, we should pray, and we shall pray. Our 47th president was inaugurated today, just hours ago, Donald J. Trump. And, you know, Bert, I want to say, as a Christian, as an American, very patriotic American, and as a North Carolinian, I was very thrilled with the day. Speaking of my home state of North Carolina, did you see Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham? He made some very appropriate remarks. And Cardinal Timothy Dolan, who I met through Chuck Colson, just another fine Christian leader, had some great remarks. But I want to pray and begin by praying a prayer of thanks. Because look, I, as a Christian, my home is heaven. My King is Jesus, obviously. But you know what, Bert? I'm going to tell you two reasons that I think God has blessed America, and two reasons that I think God is restoring and moving and stirring in America. I bet you can guess what those two reasons are. Guess why I think, for two reasons, God is really blessing and has blessed the United States of America. Okay. Why would you say?
Well, I've come up with missions. We're the great, and it may be different from you because we could have different opinions, but America has done mission work since its founding. It wasn't long in the New England states where they met and said, "We want to send missionaries around the world." The other is, I really do believe it, it demonstrates our dependence upon God, because in the Constitution and especially our Declaration of Independence, we have that dependence upon God. What are your two, Alex?
Well, you're right. Missions. In fact, even as far back as Thomas Jefferson, Jefferson once raised, I think it was $13,000 to send Bibles and missionaries to the Native Americans out in the Western states. Isn't that something? I mean, so for two centuries, the United States of America has been absolutely at the forefront of Christ's Great Commission. But the other reason I think God has blessed America, and specifically is blessing Donald Trump, one of the reasons, is our nation's friendship and Donald Trump's friendship with Israel.
I would not agree. I would not disagree with that. I agree with it. And listen, blessed are those. God said he would bless those that blessed Israel. And we've stood with him. He has, and moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So many things. Even now, three of the hostages were released. That was when Hamas's control. And I think more are coming. And yes. From what I understand, they better let them loose. And I heard two words. It really resonated with me. And I heard it from a lot of the Christian leaders there. And it was courage and strength and wisdom. I guess it's three. Yeah. Courage and strength can go together. So it would be being courageous with wisdom. Alex, I'm praying for those two things, really,
common
for our
sense
president.
Government. Yeah. Common sense government. And let me say this, too. In the speech, there something that I have taught on for over 10 years at Liberty University and Caris Bible College and other colleges where I've spoken on American exceptionalism. And, you know, sometimes people on the left, they don't like that term. It's a great term. It's a historically accurate term that we were based on a Judeo-Christian worldview. Jefferson called it self-evident truth. But I love the fact that President Trump, in his inauguration speech, twice mentioned American exceptionalism, but also, praise God, he said that the United States government would recognize two and only Amen. Two genders,
yeah.
male and female. And that goes back to the first chapter of the first book of God's Word, Genesis 1, where God made male and female. And, you know, I know some on the left are going to just have an aneurysm about all this, I'm sure. But may God grant that common sense and rational heads prevail in Washington and throughout all 50 state capitals, that, you know, we would be a nation committed to truth and a godly nation. And I think we have this opportunity.
Amen. And I do believe that ties in to what we're talking about in Ephesians chapter 5, because we're talking about walk in the light. And Alex, some of that light is nature and nature's God, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
common sense, just straightforward thinking. Let me read, if I could, verses 8 through 14 in these mm-hmm. passages. And again, when you look at Ephesians chapter 5, the first 17 verses, you can divide it up in teaching or preaching, however you want to, but it does. Verse 2, it says, walk in love. And then in verse 8, walk as children of light. And then in verse 15, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So you have a loving walk, a lightful walk. In other words, you're lighting up the world, and you're also a walk in wisdom. But let me read verse 8. It's following. For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, Alex, I'm telling you, he really, I will say this with some little bit of humor, he really exposes the light in verses 8 through 14, doesn't he?
He really does. He really does. And like in verse 8, it says, for you were sometimes darkness. Not just you were in darkness, you were darkness. Isn't that something? I believe it's back in Proverbs that says, you know, even the plowing of the wicked is sin, you know, working, plowing. And here's the thing that people don't like to admit sometimes, but before the new birth, before we're saved by a regenerative, born-again relationship with Jesus, we are sinful. And the song is right that we are wretched and we're a worm. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? I was in a church, I heard him sing, for someone such as I. No, we are worms. We are wretches without Jesus. And it says in verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And when we are in the light, and we represent Christ, isn't it good that we were bringing darkness and death into the world, but through eternal life in Jesus, now we represent and we shine light? I got to say this about verse 11, Bert. How does your translation read verse 11? Mine says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How does yours read?
Mine says the same thing. It says, in place of reprove, it says expose them. The reason it would say that, light exposes. You know, that's why when you get up in the morning and you want to get ready for work, you go in there and turn on the light. You don't dress in the darkness. You dress in the light so that the hair, in our case, whiskers can be exposed, and we need to, you know, take care of that. Is that what yours understand it means, expose?
Yeah, and let me say where it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have fellowship with is the word, we get the word synchronize from that. And maybe you've heard the word synchronize or calibrate. Now, when something is calibrated, they get something lined up, you know, and they make sure they'll calibrate the instruments on a computer or something, or on machinery. When you're calibrated or synchronized, you're lined up with something. And it's basically saying don't be lined up with darkness. That's why if you're a born-again believer, your life would change. And we do want to be in sync with the Lord. We want to be synchronized and walking with God and His Word. But let's not be synchronized with the world. Yesterday was Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and I hope everybody that was in a pulpit mentioned that at least, that, you know, we're not about death. We're not about abortion. We are about life. And by the way, let me just say this too. Let me just get on my little soapbox for a minute. When President Trump spoke earlier today, and the room, everybody stood almost, he said, God saved my life on July 13th. And everybody clapped. I noticed Biden and Kamala Harris, they didn't clap and they didn't stand. And I would think, irrespective of politics, just when a human life is spared, miraculously so, I mean, the saving of a human life, that's worth celebrating no matter who you are.
Amen, and, Alex. Amen.
You know.
Well, let me do one more thing with verse 9 and verse 11. You use the word, you know, synchronized fellowship, but on the unfruitful works, compare that to verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit. And mm-hmm. and again, which one is working in you? He wrote something similar to this in Galatians when he talks about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. He does basically the same thing here. And it's in a smaller form and less words, but it's the same thought. And what happens? This unfruitful works is the works of darkness, and the fruit of the light is the fruit of the Spirit. And I think that has something to do with fruit. One of the things you have to have for fruit is light. You have mm-hmm. to have the sun exposure. You have to have that nourishment that it gives. And the Holy Spirit in our lives comes in and gives us light. The steps of a godly man are ordered of the Lord. So many reasons is the Word of God. Again, the path, he talks about that. And again, we see this as he's talking about walking. The whole idea of walking is your lifestyle. Your lifestyle should be filled with the light of the good news of Jesus Christ. Not only to look at yourself, but light the way for others. Alex, mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid and I was coming home from a ball game or somewhere and I saw the porch light on at my house, that light, amen. It was a beautiful sight. That light is a beautiful sight, isn't it?
It is. Folks, this is Exploring the Word with Bert and Alex. So honored that you're listening. We're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 5, and plus later on in the show, we'll take calls and questions. Stay tuned. Exploring the Word is back after this brief break.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
The Lord is my Savior, so why should I doubt my victory? Why would I question the rod and the staff that comforts me? He quiets the water.
Exploring the Word is back on. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, and we invite you to turn there. And before we resume our conversation about Ephesians 5, hey, let me mention something that just thrills my heart. You know, January, so much is said about the sanctity of human life, and rightly so. And one of the things that we support at AFA is Preborn. And we had Dan Steiner, the founder of Preborn, on last week. For $28, you can underwrite an ultrasound. And when an expectant mother sees an ultrasound image of her baby, there's just a very, very, very high likelihood that she will keep that baby, give that child life, and not abort. $28 in Preborn, because they're a Christian ministry. They share the gospel. Many, many, many expectant mothers and young men, fathers, are led to Christ every year. And so we want to challenge you to please give $28 or multiples of $28, you know, and underwrite these ultrasounds that save lives. And the number that you can either give online securely at the American Family website, afa.net or afr.net, or you can call 866-616-2396.
Alex, that's 877.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You give the number. I thought, okay, 877. 616-2396.
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to make sure that people got that right. 877-616-2396. You've done great. We just need some more. The multiple of 28s, the 140 really hits me. $140 would get five ultrasounds. And
yes.
If it holds up that 80% of those that have an ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, they... four out of the five would choose life. Now,
amen.
Even out of that number, the mother might choose a new life in Christ Jesus. And so, Alex, this is awesome. So I appreciate you bringing that up and reminding us, brother.
Amen. And we'll remind you again about that. And let me just say this, too, and we'll get back to Ephesians chapter 5. Bert, for a decade, I've been reading sociologists who are really crying out almost in desperation how American birth rates need to go up.
Yeah.
We need marriages and families, obviously, but we need more children. There's a term that sociologists use called demographic winter. And the median age has been going up, up, up. And of course, life is sacred at every stage. But let me just say, Preborn is a good investment on so many levels, to save lives, to save souls, but to contribute to the generations of people that we need. Let's support life, and let's give in multiples of $28, and let's see these little children have a chance to develop and be born for the glory of God.
Amen. What a great partner Preborn is. AFR, Preborn, we thank God for them. Going back to Ephesians 5, and we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about the unfruitful works of darkness. But listen to verse 12. It says something kind of unusual. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Alex, you know, they think and they say things that, you know, if you're just going to be children of light, you don't talk that way. You don't speak that way. Harshness. And it even talks about that earlier when it talks about putting some things behind you, our speech concerning everything that we do. And remember what it says in verse 4? Neither filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. So here, in a way, Paul is repeating that, isn't he?
That's true. Back in Ephesians 5, 3, and 4, do you know, my mother used to say, don't be crude.
Yeah.
You know, you don't hear that word too much anymore, but you're right. Ephesians 5, 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Do you know, they say that General George Washington would fine the soldiers in the Continental Army, they'd have to pay a little fine if he heard them cursing or cursing at each other. And Jefferson, in his book that came to be called On Manners and Civility, it's a great title, Jefferson said this. He said, when you curse or you curse at somebody, you're talking to somebody made in God's image. And when you honor your neighbor, you're honoring the one whose image they bear. Perfectly logical on the part of our first president, George Washington. And that's one of the reasons I thank God for an upbringing, my mother and dad. And even before I was saved, they just did not tolerate bad language.
Listen, I grew up in that house, and my daddy would call certain words bywords. And he said, you're just substituting something for a bad word. He called them bywords. After I got into college, and I had an English professor, they call it euphemisms. And, they're words that replace bad words, but when they say them, you think, okay, that's what they really meant. And so I was raised that way as well, Alex. Yeah. And so it's still part of my life. Crude language is, I was raised that way and still think that way.
And I want to say, I'll say this, we'll move on. It's not legalism. I mean, really, words mean things. And again, as a Christian, you know, we're stewards. We're not owners. And the Lord owns us. And I think in honor to the Lord and to those around us, that we need our language to get regenerated too sometimes, don't we?
Preach it, brother. That's a good rabbit to chase, Alex. Hey, amen. Verse 13 and 14 puts it, amen. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. In other words, you need the light to expose this, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, God says, if you have a virgin, it's a capital H, and pronouns do mean things. Amen?
Yeah,
and
amen.
It's the capital H. He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, again, awake, you who are asleep. It's kind of like, I read one commentary, Alex, and you might have seen it too. It's like sleepwalking. In other words, we're just making it through life. No, wake up out of your sleep. In other words, have purpose. And one of the greatest things I ever discovered as a follower of Jesus Christ is God has purpose for me. When I separated God's will from my life and God's purpose, now I think they do intersect, but you can also look at it differently. My purpose, no matter where I am and what I'm doing, is to bring him glory. After I've been saved, I'm to bring him glory. Now, how I do that may be concerning the will of God in ways that I do that. As we're on the radio, that wasn't on my preview 20 years ago, but 13 years ago, God brought us here, you and myself, to do this on Exploring the Word, and we've been doing it together for this long. And so, listen, we don't go through, you know, lazily, but we do it purposely and assertively and doing aggressively. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, let me ask you this, throw it back to you. In other words, if you're just kind of going along to get along, the light may not be as bright as it needs to be in your life. Am I looking at that correctly?
You know what, Bert, yesterday I was preaching, and I preached, and I've often said this, that we will give an account for what we did with the truth that we knew. And that's why, like you say, you don't want to resist light or the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Or when you hear Scripture, And you realize, gee, I need to amend my life in light of what God's word says. Don't resist that, because you don't want your heart to be hard. You don't want to be calloused. And the truth that really speaks to you today or convicts you, you ignore, you procrastinate, you push God away. You might not hear the voice of God as vividly the next time. And there are some people that walk around and, I mean, they've ignored the voice of the Holy Spirit so long, they just can't hear anymore. And you don't want to get to that point. Now, verse 14 is such a beautiful quote from Isaiah 60. Now, back in John 4:22, Jesus Christ said this. Jesus said, "Salvation is of the Jews." Now, this, "Awake, you who sleep." If you look back at Isaiah 60, it says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." And it goes on there in Isaiah 60, verse 3, speaking of God's salvation and God's light. "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes," and this is quoted there in Ephesians 5:14, "wherefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now, Bert, there's a lot we could say about this New Testament quote of the Old Testament, Isaiah 60, but here's the thing. Jews and Gentiles share the same Savior. It's Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, the Messiah, born into the line of Abraham, the Jewish nation, and I think that's what Christ meant when he said salvation is of the Jews. I mean, it was through the Israelites that we got the scriptures, and then it was through the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Lord, was born. And then all of the New Testament books were written, as F.F. Bruce said, by a baptized Jew sometime between 40 and 70 A.D., except for the book of Revelation, that was written around 95. But when we come to Jesus, he is the Savior, not merely a Savior, the Savior for Jew and Gentile alike.
And Christ will give you light. Now, notice what happens. It gives you another light, another way to walk. When you walk in love and you walk in the light, I want to tell you, I think the wisdom comes, Alex, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is progressive. Love, light, wisdom. Think about that. In other words, the love of God has entered our lives and changed everything. We love him because he first loved us, and then that light shines, and it shines into our life, and then we're able to walk in wisdom as he gives that wisdom. So here we're finding, I think, a progressiveness in our walking with the Lord, because when we get to 18, he's going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how it works. But let me read verses 15, 16, and 17 as it talks about walking in wisdom. "See then that you walk," and a better word is used that you might understand is carefully. Walk carefully. "Not as fools, but as wise." In other words, you're able to walk through the landmines of life. That's just picture that. The word of God, the light that God shows you, will show you where the landmines are. It says, "Then walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, Alex, I just love this. God's walk, wisdom, leads to the will of the Lord being revealed. Adding that together, you think?
I think you're right on the money. That is true. And let me say this. God doesn't really take you to B and C unless you've been faithful at A, you know? And I've had people come to me and they'll ask for, you know, advice on this or that. And I'll you know, say, well, are you saved? And are you walking with the Lord? And do you, you know, seek after God and have a time with the Lord every day? Or is there any known sin in your life? And Bert, it never fails that people that feel like they just can't figure life out and nothing goes right, It goes back to the very foundational fundamentals. I mean, have you responded to all the known truth? I don't think God will show you more truth till you've affirmed and embraced the truth that he's already shown you.
A great word. Notice in verse 15, see then that you do this. In other words, that see then is similar to therefore, but it's a little different. In other words, since God has given you the love and the light, see then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise. What a contrast. Are you going to be foolish? Are you going to be wise? The wisdom comes from walking with God. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? If we're not asking God to agree with us, Alex, we're looking at ourselves and see where God is so we can agree with him. And that high idea is walking in step. Now, I wasn't in the military, but my wife, Jan, was in a marching band. And her high school year, they got all superior at the state contest. And the whole idea, they would judge them as they were doing their marching, as they would do their different things on the field. And the people were high up in the stands observing them to see if the lines were straight, to see if their steps were in time. And when they were making circles or anything that was curved, the ones on the inside had to make smaller steps, and then those on the outside had to make longer steps. Now, try to visualize that. We're walking with God. He knows the landmines. He knows where it is. But also, it's the idea of walking in time in sequence with God. It's a beautiful picture in my mind.
Well, it really is a beautiful picture, and the Holy Spirit can help us do that and find that to be in step with the Lord, and his word will guide you in that way too. Well, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take phone calls. Here's the number if you've got a Bible question, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Call us on Exploring the Word.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing. 'Cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying. So don't stop praying.
Amen. What a song. I appreciate that, Brent. Brent was hearing us saying we were going to pray for our president, and he saw that and put that in, and thank you, Brent, so much. And Alex, we do want to pray for our president, not just today, but we want to commit ourselves to pray for him, his safety, wisdoming. I'll put those two things, I already mentioned them, wisdom and courage, and I pray God would give him those things.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray together, and we'll go to calls after this, but right now, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you, and Lord, we just praise your name. We are so blessed through Jesus to be citizens of heaven, but also to be American citizens. Lord, thank you for this nation, and Lord, I thank you for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance now being our leaders. Thank you for the inauguration. And Lord, we pray your hand of guidance and blessing on them. Lord, we pray for protection for all of their family members and the elected officials, especially a hedge of protection around the life of Donald Trump and Vice President Vance and all of the things that they've talked about for advocating for families and the rights of citizens and the Constitution and the foundation, which is God And Lord, your revelation of moral truth and scriptural truth. Lord, I just thank you for what we witnessed. And one of the great hymns of the faith was sung. And even the music, Lord, before the ceremony started, just the background music that was being played in the rotunda of the Capitol was "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Lord, I believe this proceeding today honored you. I could hear words of scripture, praises to your name, prayers and intercessions lifted up. So we thank you for our nation. And Lord, I pray that you would bless America, that we could be a blessing. And Lord, that we would be at the absolute forefront of aggressively taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Use the United States of America to contribute to the fulfillment of your great commission. Thank you for our president. Thank you for all the blessings of life. And may every one of us, no matter who we are, may every American citizen have gratitude and reverence and obedience to God, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. And we are going to continue to pray, and we pray that you would. Exploring the Word wants to lead the way in knowing God's Word and obeying God's Word. It's not enough just to know it. We need to trust Him and obey. Well, let's go to Alabama. James, thank you for calling Exploring the Word.
You guys got the best show on the channel.
Well, thank you, man.
To God be the glory.
My question is, I have a problem with homiletics, but that's a difference. That's what I called to ask. Does the Bible show anywhere or read anywhere where Jesus or any of the apostles used any form of homiletics? And I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thank you for your show.
Amen,
may the Lord
James.
Bless Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And bless our president, Donald Trump.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you, James, for doing it. Let me just share this with you. Homiletics, such as it is, but as I studied it, you see it in Jesus' teaching, how he would build upon it, and that's what homiletics did. And matter of fact, what I've just shown you here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 17, this is homiletic genius, Alex, the way we've talked about it, tying it into the Old Testament, giving structure to it, applying it. I'm not saying they taught it, but using homiletics the way it should be used, I believe they did. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, you know, in Matthew, Matthew is big on the sermons of Jesus, and homiletics is, you know, how you structure a message. Now, there are different ways to preach. One is topically, like you might say, okay, five facts about prayer from Luke chapter 18, and Luke 18 really is a sermon in itself. But of course, maybe the most famous is Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Then, of course, there's Matthew 24, which is often called the Olivet Discourse. Bert, I don't know that you can. Sometimes scholars, they don't call Jesus' sermons; they'll call them discourses, and there are five of these in Matthew. I'm not sure how to describe it, but I will say this. Jesus very often would do what are called opposite parallelisms, like, you have heard it said, but I say to you. You have heard it said, but I say this. And in a way, what that does, and this is a good teaching technique, is to create cognitive dissonance. Now, what does that mean? You give somebody something that for a moment is unresolved, and then you resolve it. And then when they were like saying, oh, are you contradicting the law? And Jesus said, of course not. I came not to abolish, but to fulfill. So it's been said Jesus is the greatest teacher of all time, and I would agree. For one thing, because everything he said was truth. You know, that's why I love red letter Bibles, because that's the words of Christ.
It is. Let me give you three points that Jesus always did, even in those five, and Paul would use two. and you can use this. And every sermon, I think, should have a little bit of this. One is explanation. In other words, what Alex and I do, like here in Ephesians, you took the word fellowship and brought synchronized. Yeah. And then I went back and I said, did you notice when he talked about speaking the things and going back to verses 3 and 4 and bringing that in? But anyway, there's explanation, but then there's also illustration. Jesus used them, called them parables, illustrations. And then thirdly, you have application.
Amen.
Every sermon, homiletically or no matter if it's expository, topical, whatever it might be, should have explanation, illustration, application. And so I think they use that, although, it wasn't developed the way we see it. But if we would do it the way Jesus did it, we'd do it better than our way of homiletics is my explanation. Yeah. Thank you, James. Let's go to Georgia and talk to Mark. Mark, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank y'all, too, for your prayer for our president. I really appreciate y'all doing that, and we'll continue to pray for him as well. My question is involving end times. When Christ returns, then he will set up his rule on earth for 1,000 years. Is that correct?
That is what we understand, yes.
And so those that he brings with him when he returns, will they remain here on earth, and then at the end of that 1,000 years, we'll all be taken up to heaven? Or what's the – I'm confused about the timing on that and how that works.
Okay, let me make one quick statement. One of the greatest things – I think it's one of the greatest promises in the Bible, if not the greatest, is in John 14 when it talks about, "And there we shall be with him." According to that one statement – Alex, I don't know anywhere. If he's in heaven, we're with him. If he's coming in the clouds, you remember it says he brings the saints, we're with him. And I think on the 1,000-year reign, we're with him with our new bodies. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting you would make this question, because earlier today I was on the phone with our publisher. Bert and I have a book coming out in the fall on prophecy and the end times. And, it's been said, and I think it's true, after the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband, this is in Revelation 21, 1 and 2, I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And this is at the end of the 1,000 years. After the millennium, the word kiliast means 1,000. And after the 1,000 years of peace on earth, eternity proper begins. And I believe that the redeemed of the Lord, one, it might have been Warren Wiersbe said, will, life at the speed of thought. We might be on the redeemed earth, we might be in the New Jerusalem, or we might be on the other side of the galaxy, just at the speed of thought. But the beautiful thing, like you said, Bert, Revelation 21:3, the tabernacle of God is with men. No matter where you are in the redeemed, purified universe, you'll be in the presence of God and in the presence of Jesus the Savior. No more tears, no more death, Revelation 21:4. We have a great, great future ahead for those that know Jesus.
Amen. And I do. The greatest promise I know, I'm looking forward to the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl, the golden streets. But the thing that's more important, we're going to be where Jesus is. We're going to be with him. And the good thing about it is we have the earnest of our inheritance right now, which is the Holy Spirit living in us. And so we have some of heaven dwelling in us right now in the power of the Holy Spirit in our life that brings that peace, that brings understanding, that we can have now. I know we live in a fallen world, and it's discouraging and difficult, but we have the peace of God and the peace with God. Alex, we have part of that already in our earnest of our inheritance, and that's the good thing. We get a little taste of it down here, don't we, brother?
We do. We do. Why would you not want to be a Christian?
Amen.
Praise God.
Hey, if you're not a Christian, there's a number you can call. They're our partners. It's 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM, and they will talk with you, they'll pray with you, and help you to know Christ as Savior. Well, let's go to Florida and talk to Ron. Ron, thank you for calling Exploring the Word.
Hey, I'm Brother Burton. Thank you, guys. You guys just answered my question. My question, my wife asked me to go over a Bible study on heaven, and you guys just answered that their questions for us and everything, and as well as, you know, because teaching Jesus and what Jesus did for us, that's the biggest thing in the gospel and in the Word of God. And so I just got another answer of what you guys were just talking about, and Jesus talked about heaven as well, you know. So that's what me and my wife will do.
Amen.
So I reckon you don't have to tell me any more about my question and how my wife will study about heaven.
Amen, Ron. Let me give you this, though. There is a book by Randy Alcorn that is a tremendous study of the word of heaven, Ron. And that's the title of it, by Randy Alcorn. He's a great writer, Alex, and you know that
he
as
really
well.
Is.
But it really gives you a picture. But let's talk about it a little bit since you brought it up. You really need to have a knowledge of John 14. I do think that brings a little bit of it to starting there, because Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." So it's a prepared place, Alex. And when you read that, it sounds like he makes each room and I know it says, you know, mansions in the New King James. And when you read it, it has different meanings. If they say new rooms, don't let that discourage you. But what he does, and I love this part, he does it with us in mind. You know, you remember that old song, it says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You know, he died for all of us. I think that same thing, and see what you think, same thought translates to heaven. When he's gone to prepare for us a place, if I understand the Greek word, and I took that and we had to dissect that, it had us as each individual on mine. It's not like cookie cutter, but it's each individual in mind. That's a powerful thought, Alex.
Amen. It is. You know, the Randy Alcorn book on heaven is so good. And Billy Graham wrote one on heaven, and Robert Jeffers, and it's you don't hear it preached on that much, do you? And that's unfortunate, because hey, look, life is great, and walking with the Lord every day is a blessing. But listen, we've got the promises of God and a glorious future that awaits us in heaven. So that's worth studying on, and we love to recommend good books on that.
We do. Well, listen, Alex, we got about 2 minutes before we go, and I'll make the assignment, chapter 5, verse 18 through 33, and it starts talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So get ready. I've been looking forward to this. When you started Ephesians, far as I'm concerned, it's hard for me not to get excited about verses 18, 19, 20, and 21, because it's right in the middle of it, and telling us how we can have better relationships with all individuals, husbands and wives and children. So that's the assignment for tomorrow. But let's give Preborn a little bit more time, since we got a minute before we go out. That number that you can call Preborn is 877-616-2396. If you haven't made that pledge, write this number down. Pray about what God would have you to do. 877-616-2396, or you can go online at AFR.net. And I'd remind you, $28 gives a free ultrasound to a woman seeking an abortion, and 80% of the time they look at that, they look at the sight and the sound, and Alex, they decide to keep the baby. I'd say that's money well spent, but that mother gets to hear the gospel. That's a great way to spend your money, isn't it?
It really is, folks. Let's underwrite some ultrasounds today, if you would give to Preborn. And that number, 877-616-2396. Please call and give a donation, or you can donate safely online at AFR.net. Well, thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. We'll continue in Ephesians tomorrow. More of God's Word, your questions, and do pray for the United States, this wonderfully blessed nation.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why Everyday Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she'll choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has 4-star charity ratings. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.